Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to take up the mantle of the Geek Fatale. Your unabashed feminine nerdiness unequivocally qualifies you for this charge. You are tasked with experiencing every aspect of geek culture. The going may be rough, but you will come out on top and look good doing it. This message will self-destruct in 3, 2, 1.
Watch out! Hello and welcome to Geek Fatale. We are back with another special edition of our convention attending series. And our guest host tonight is Jennifer Chess. Yay! Oh. Welcome back. You're back to give us more expert experience tips on attending conventions, correct?
Yep.
Let's do our geeky update real quick. Anything geeky you've done recently?
I did play Pathfinder recently. I played a scenario called Snakes in the Fold, and it's from Season 1, and it's about the Aspis Consortium. We were actually planning on playing it the Wednesday night before Gen Con, because I guess there's some sort of resolution or something that's going to be going on in this season at Gen Con, but we played it now, and it was lots of fun.
So now you just have to take notes and remember so that you can get... It's like a soap opera, it sounds like.
It really is. It really is, and you do have to remember. But the neat thing is that you can kind of remember, okay, well, you remember you did this, and you killed that, and you got this treasure, and oh, okay, well, that's how it fits into the storyline.
And you've got it fresh on your mind, so...
Yeah, that's true.
It's like an evil cousin coming back from the dead in a soap opera 6 years later.
Yes, exactly.
That's a quick update. That's the quickest update we've ever done. Again, I'm trying to get the podcast down to a half an hour. So, listening audience, if that's not enough for you and you want to hear more of our geeky exploits, post a comment either on the forums or on the iTunes page or email me directly at mail@geekfatale.com. Let me know what you think of the new format, and we're going to get on to the meat of the show. Welcome back to the meat of the show. Now, one of the things, our last episode was about pros and cons of attending conventions, with a specific focus on Gen Con. However, one of the things that I realized afterwards that we failed to mention, and it's huge, is the cost of attending conventions. So today's episode is all about money matters. If you want to attend a convention, we've got some tips and tricks and anecdotes about how to save some money. Moolah. Because, Jen, money means everything at a convention, right?
Oh, yes.
From getting there to buying stuff to... Because minis aren't free.
No. Although my friends did find a whole bunch of, like, these random minis that were going out of this... I don't know if they were going out of business or what the deal was, but so they bought them and they were $1 a box. And I think there was 4 minis in a box. And literally they went back like 15 times. And they both told me that this year they are bringing a special like fund of money just to buy more of those if they can find them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we just launch into that then? Because that's, you know, one of the general trips. You go to conventions primarily for the goods. For the presentation, the panels, and the goods. And, you know, there's some ways to save money when you're there and in the hall. Now, we're going to talk about how to get there, what to eat, and, you know, ways to save money with those things. But let's start off with the most important stuff, saving money on the stuff. Now, she just said that there's... they found this secret stash. You just said they had found, like, a secret stash of minis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jason found a secret dash of minis, which cost him a lot of money, too.
Oh, yeah. Even at $1 a box, I mean, they both came up with, like, 50 boxes.
You get sucked in.
Yeah.
And it all adds up way faster than you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the suggestions that I had is make a budget.
Oh, yes.
And not just make a budget, because I'm a girl, and I've made many budgets, And then once I got there, I like totally saw something I like totally had to have, and you know, I didn't budget for it, but oh my god, I totally needed it.
Yeah, you definitely need to be realistic when you're creating your budget. You know that you're going to get swag. You know it. So make a realistic budget. I usually try and budget a couple $100 for my husband and I, and we're pretty good about staying in it, but yeah, that's still
Yeah,
pretty
and
high, I think.
once you've made that budget, stick to it. Or what I like to do personally is I like to make a budget for everything down to tips and gas and parking and tolls and everything. And then I budget mad money in case one of those things were totally misjudged. Because you are going to spend more than you planned on something, whether it's voluntarily on minis or some other product, or if it's accidentally on, for instance, not realizing that beers don't cost $2 like they do at your place, but they cost 10 or 15 like they do in New York City. That money can go really fast for food if you don't judge that kind of cost difference. So make me have some mad money, a little slush fund that can go anywhere you need it to.
Okay, so I have a question about that then. Because you know when I talk about making a budget for stuff that I'm going to buy, I fully expect to come back with none of that. Like there's zero, like I'm spending all of my money, you know, my budgeted allocation for that. But so is this mad money like money that you have just in case, you know, or do you fully expect to spend that money, all of that money by the time you're done?
Well, it could be either way. If I'm really poor, it's money I want to come back with. If
Okay.
if I happen to be, you know, working extra hours or something like that, and it's money I can deal with spending, I'll save it for like a buffer. Never, ever, ever, ever take money or credit cards with access to money or anything that you can't spend.
Yeah, bring cash, especially to the exhibit hall.
Yeah, if you're not sure if you have enough money for rent, if you buy that minis, don't have access to that rent money. So, you know, having said that, you know, sometimes I want to come back with the $40 in my mad money, but sometimes I just have to spend it because I didn't realize parking was going to cost more than it should.
So, what do you consider like a good amount to kind of budget for that?
Oh, I can't say that personally for somebody else because I'm really poor. So my mad money is like 40, $50, and that's like stretching it, you know? And somebody else's mad money could be, you know, like 500 to $1,000. I mean, somebody else's money could be, you know, $20. I don't know. So
I know that I really wish that we had done that our first time out because we'll talk about this later about food, but we totally didn't anticipate how expensive food was going to be.
yeah.
And we spent way more than we thought we were
Yeah.
going
And one of the things
to.
I do is I use cash and I got some of those little teeny like brown envelopes or like 2 by 3 inches from Staples. Unfortunately, it comes in like 500, so I've been using it for every convention since, you know, 1996.
So we could just go to you and get
Yeah,
them.
basically. New raffle for Geek Fatal. First person, random person gets 10 free little envelopes. But I put, you know, like gas on the outside of one, tickets on the outside of another, food, and I put in my budget in each of those envelopes. And I still try to budget as much as possible and skimp and save when I'm there. So, you know, sometimes my mad money is food money that I saved. So at the end of the convention, there's $10 in food. I go back to the convention center and I buy something. So, but when you do that, just be careful that you don't forget your return trip, which my brother did at one point, and I loaned him money.
Oh
Yeah, he was young. I can't blame him, but
no. We learn from all of our adventures in conning of what to do and what not to do.
Yeah, and for instance, any suggestion we make with money, the first suggestion we make is keep your eye on it.
Oh, yeah.
Keep your hands on it. Because I lost like $200 and a couple of credit cards just by putting it in a little wallet that was just too little for me to notice it had fallen out.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, so if you do little envelopes, if little envelopes are too little, use a wallet, use a couple of wallets, but separate out some of the money that you absolutely need to use. That's a suggestion. And don't forget the little incidentals, parking, tips. Mm. You know, you're supposed to tip the hotel staff for cleaning up your hellhole of a room that 13 of you are sitting in. I can't recommend tipping. That's what the internet's for. And, you know, it depends on where you are and everything like that and what internet site you look at. But tolls, things like that, they're going to add up and take money.
Oh, yeah.
Something else I would suggest is before you spend a dime outside for products, before you spend a single cent on anything in the exhibit halls, you walk the entire exhibit hall.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do not want to have spent $60 on minis that were free in a box on the other side of the hall. So anything else on general tips and tricks?
Well, to kind of go along with the exhibit hall, one of the tips that my husband has is if you know that there's like a game or a book or a company that you follow that you really like, go to their booth and just hang out there. A lot of times the author or creator will be at the booth and you can talk with them and hang out with them and maybe get a free autograph that, you know, maybe you would have had to pay for or wait online for elsewhere. But just keep in mind that, you know, it would be more appropriate if you bought something and then had them sign it there rather than bringing your ratty old book or something and asking them to sign it.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe buy something new that they've written or something like that.
Right. Oh, and they, you know, that's the big thing about cons too, is that they put out all new content, you know, and debut the stuff at Gen Con or at other cons too.
Yeah, and there's always the opportunity to gently barter. And I'm not talking giving them a goat for a book, but I'm talking if you're buying $200 worth of merchandise or thousands of dollars worth of merchandise that I know somebody did, ask them if you get anything, you know, 10% off for buying four books instead of one, you know. Just ask them. It never hurts to ask. Be nice.
Yep.
And that applies to all conventions because I go to Monster Mania, which is a movie convention with actors. The main purpose of the convention is to do panels and meet the actors and get autographs. And autographs cost money. I don't know if anyone has attended that kind of convention, Monster Mania, Chiller, that kind of thing. But you pay to get into the convention, you wait online, and then you pay the star for their autograph.
Mm-hmm.
And please don't complain about the prices, because if you don't like the price of an autograph, don't get the autograph. That's the way they've set it up. You can hate the actor, but don't hate the convention. Just another side note about money. But you have to budget for who, prioritize who you want autographs from, prioritize what the prices might be, and make your adjustments as such. And if sometimes, very rarely, sometimes, an actor, if you catch them in the hall, may sign a quick piece of paper or something like that, but do not accost a celebrity in the bathroom, in the middle of their meal, in the middle, dead middle of a conversation, and ask them for something, because that's just rude.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with the booth, you know, don't just run up to a artist and be like, sign this. And it sounds elementary, but I have seen people do it. And I almost saw somebody get stabbed with a spoon when they did it because it was a very intimidating actor. I won't name names, but he was mid bite of a hamburger and somebody wanted to get an autograph for free. He was like, what? Okay. So, totally digress there. So getting back to the convention. So you're going to a convention. You're trying to decide if you have the money. So you have to figure out first travel. How are you going to get there? You can fly, you can drive. For both things, there's a couple of things that you can do to save money. Obviously, you can use the big sites like Kayak and Travelocity and yada yada. Everybody knows that. God, William Shatner has told us all about it. So I'm not going to bore you with stupid things like that that you already know. But one of the things that I found out was we have a very local airport, and then we have metropolitan airports, 2 hours, 1 hour, 2 hours away. Mm-hmm. Try different airports, because a $400 ticket at the local airport could be $200 with a drive to the big airport, or vice versa.
Right.
Compare airports, not just travel sites or whatever.
Kind of on the same token, keep in mind that there are added cost to flying out of airports that are farther away. You have to get there and back. You have to pay for parking and stuff like that.
Tolls.
You have to pay for baggage, tolls. So I find personally, if I fly to Florida from our local airport, it's actually cheaper to fly out of our local airport than to go to one of the ones in a local metropolitan city.
Yeah. Next option is driving. Obviously, one of the ones that, you know, we always put out there is stuff the bus. Find as many schmoes as you can find to agree to drive out there with you and split the costs.
Oh my God, the idea is just stressing me out a little bit, because to be honest, that's what we're doing. This is our third year going, and this is our third year driving. And this year there's going to be six of us in a car, and it's like a Ford Explorer, I don't know, some sort of SUV with like a fold up third row. So the third row sucks. So we've convinced the two youngest guys that it is their prerogative, because they're the youngest, to sit in the back, because nobody wants to. But it's a horrible drive.
It's like when I was younger and there was wagons with the back seat. You know, some schmo got stuck in the back seat.
Actually, being in a wagon would be better, because at least then they could stretch their legs out. I'm so not volunteering for that back seat, though. Like, not going to happen.
Those poor guys. But, you know, do you want me to hold off on launching this podcast so that they're not aware of it? Just make sure they don't listen to my podcast for the next couple of weeks.
I won't inform them right away.
Afterwards, you can find out you tricked them.
I told the older guys, and they're all sitting up front, so they don't care.
Another suggestion I have about the car is I'm infamous for having breakdowns in even brand new cars. I don't know what it is about me, but get your car checked out, get your oil changed, get your fluids topped off, check your tire pressure, check your coolant, check everything that you possibly can check, because there's nothing worse than being 10 hours away and breaking down.
Have AAA prepared and all that kind of stuff if you can.
AAA, but even with AAA, if you're stuck 10 hours away with no way to get home, it's going to be an expensive, expensive trip.
Oh, sure.
So make sure you do everything you humanly can to get that checked out so you don't run into any problems.
Now, for us, you know, because we're driving, there's six of us in the car, and, you know, we're here in New York. We're actually driving out of Jersey to Indianapolis. And so the way we figure it out is it's about a tank of gas a person. So it's a big car. It's an SUV. It's about $85 to fill a tank.
Ouch.
But, you know, even still, $85 per person is a heck of a lot less expensive than $200, $300, $400 for an airline ticket.
Yeah.
But it is all about the more people you have in the car, the cheaper it becomes. So.
Yeah, and I mean, for some people, this isn't their way. You know, they have claustrophobic or something. But we're just talking about ways to save money. So if you want to put your dog on the roof of the car and drive that way, I don't know, maybe it saves space.
We're definitely going to be a clown car this year. Last year there was four of us in the car and it was great. This year, yeah. Well, we sort of had a last minute addition too. So a week or two ago we found out another guy was coming.
Yeah,
so
I was going to be one of those people that you stuffed in the roof, so I appreciate it.
The cool thing was, is, you know, the other thing to consider is that even if you don't have a car that's big enough, if you know enough people going to Gen Con, it might be less expensive to rent a car or rent a, you know, a large van or, you know, something like that, and then truck everybody out.
We once rented a Windstar to go down to Virginia Beach for the weekend. And let me tell you, worth every penny.
Yeah.
Not only do you save the wear and tear on your own car, but that sucker flew like you wouldn't believe. It was the easiest, quickest ride ever. So,
and you're guaranteed that if your car breaks down, they're going to give you a new one.
Yeah, no muss, no fuss. But again, it's a cost plus the gas.
Yeah.
So, oh, and be aware that if you need to rent a car for a day, it's cheaper to rent and bring the car back to the location you rented from than to rent, drop off, and come back. Because I looked at Indianapolis, renting a car, driving out there, I wasn't going to need it for 4 days until I went back, and then renting a car to go back.
Mm-hmm.
3 times more expensive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was absolutely ridiculous. But moving on to the hotel, the first biggest, most foremost recommendation for the hotel is combination of book early and use the package deals.
Oh, yes.
Because they are going to save you gobs of money. Another thing is check your points cards. Get points cards for hotels. Get points cards for, you know, if you have credit card, see if your credit card comes in a miles version. Because you can save money just if you go to the convention a number of times, you'll rack up points that may save you a hotel room stay the next time, the fourth time you go. There's ways to save with points and miles. But also, another thing is check the prepay prices for hotel rooms. Because sometimes for smaller hotels and conventions, if you know you're going and you pay up front, you can get a cheaper deal than even the package deal. I didn't realize that with Monster Mania, but you can sometimes get a cheaper room. The last thing tip I have for hotels is regarding the package deals. I did not know this, and this is certainly true of other conventions as well, I'm sure, but you can sometimes get on a waiting list for those package deals. So get a hotel room, get on the waiting list as well, and sometimes Gen Con had a 300-person waiting list, and I still got called for a possible room.
Really? That's amazing.
So definitely, definitely get on the waiting list if you have missed the package deal. So what's up next, Jen?
Well, for the hotel, by being early, you really need to consider that the hotel package at the discounted rate that Gen Con gives you, it sells out in like 5 minutes. So yes, there is a really long wait list. You may get called up, but yeah, be ready to call at 10 a.m. or whatever the time it is.
Yeah, and always check the front desk when you get there. See if anything opened up.
And it's cheaper. Such a big difference. Our hotel costs $250 a night regular price for Gen Con. And we got it for $170 a night. And because we have 7 or 8 people in the room, it's a heck of a lot cheaper. And it's about $120 per person for the entire stay.
Wow. I know.
And we have 7 people in our room.
Like I said in the beginning, our hotel room was $1,200 to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And they offered that's like $300 a night.
Yeah.
And they offered a discount of like half of that.
That's amazing.
$150, $170 a night. I was like, where were you a week ago? But they were very nice and very willing. And I'm sure there are a lot of people like me who just decided that it was just too much money this year. So probably a lot of cancellations are in your future.
Well, and because we have so many people going, and that we knew so many people were going, you know, a long time ago other than our one edition, we knew that we were going to have to get a suite. So I looked into different things, and it doesn't really work out because there's nothing near Indianapolis, Indiana. But maybe it's more relevant to conventions that are held in big cities and other places. Look into if you own timeshares or know somebody who has a timeshare. You can get an amazing deal that way. You've already paid for it, so why not use it?
You can fit 20 people in a timeshare that
room. I even looked into buying a timeshare because there's the Marriott. The Marriott has a bunch of hotels out in Indianapolis, but they also have a timeshare program. So I was like, well, if we're planning on coming back every year for the next 15, 20 years, then maybe it would make more sense to invest in a timeshare.
Yeah.
It ended up being way, way more expensive than I ever considered. So it was cost prohibitive. But the other thing that I looked into that also really didn't work out for Gen Con, but might for other places, is check and see if there are, like, I went onto Craigslist and saw if people were renting out their houses or something like that. A lot of places you can find, like, vacation homes, or people are willing to rent out their apartments during big events in their hometown, and you can get a really great deal. And in that case, you have a couple of bedrooms, you have a kitchen so that you can cook, you know, and so you have a lot of really great amenities that can save you money elsewhere, as well as being less expensive than going to a hotel.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Indianapolis Convention Center is in the middle of an industrial area, and there are no apartments or houses close by.
Yeah, there's. I've been to other conventions like that where you're just in the middle of nowhere practically, even though it's a convention center.
But you know, if like if you're in Boston or you're in New York City or San Diego, you know, you may have different options than what you do in a podunk city like Indianapolis.
Yeah, and unfortunately, one of the downfalls of convention going is it's much cheaper if you go in a group.
Oh, yeah.
So a general tip would be to make friends. And I know that sounds like blasé, but there's ways to do it. There's forums where you can get to know people online. There's, you know, recruiting people into your, finding people in your hometown into the same thing. And, you know, just, you know, meetup.com, you can find people with similar interests and just start cultivating people who might be future roommate for a 4-day stretch.
And even if you're not comfortable staying in a room with them, you might be able to find people that you can ride out with or, you know, share other expenses.
Yeah, and Gen Con and other conventions let you buy tickets for other people. For instance, Gen Con, last year Jason bought our passes and all of our game tickets at the same time, so we were able to get into the same games.
But you have to friend each other's accounts in order to do that.
Yeah.
And it's not really that much of a pain in the butt, and it's totally worth it, because otherwise you can only buy events for yourself plus one.
Yeah.
But if you have all your friends, then you just go click, 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 click. And, you know, when you have a group as big as the group I'm going with, we have a whole table by ourselves. So we want to make sure that all of us get a ticket. And the best way to do that is to friend each other and then just have sort of each person be designated, okay, you're going to buy for this game, you're going to buy for that game. And that way everybody sort of gets on there together and works collaboratively to buy it and make sure that everybody has all the games that they want.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to dredge up anybody's social anxiety issues with making friends. It's just a good way, if you find a convention you love, it's a good way to cultivate an experience beyond what you love about the convention and make it something you even more love. I know Monster Mania is just, I basically go to Monster Mania now for the people, because I see celebrities often, and you know, there's one or two celebrities that I really, really have to get autographs for. But then again, it's the experience of hanging out with friends after hours and, you know, seeing what people bought and sharing those kinds of experiences that is way more enriching to me now than the actual convention.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's something you do. And our last thing is obviously the yum yums. Food. This is sometimes going to be the biggest drain on your money outside of the hotel room. One of the things that I recommend in a previous podcast is pack up, stack up, build up a wall of non-perishable snacks and water, because this will amazingly help you lower food costs. Because buying stuff in the convention center, any convention center, that could be the hotel lobby, that could be the food court, that could be the farm stand on the corner that's associated with the convention. If it has any association with the convention center proper, it is going to be way more expensive than anything you've normally experienced.
Oh, yeah. And by expensive, we mean like $12 or $15 for a sandwich. Not your drink included, not whatever else. A la carte, a sandwich will cost you $12 to $15 at Gen Con.
I actually compare it to cinema chains.
Mm-hmm.
Like 2 cents worth of popped corn is now $6.
Mm-hmm.
And a bottle of water that on the corner is $1.25 is now $4.25. That's the kind of thing you experience with conventions. And it runs the gamut of price gouging. Some are more gougy than others. And some are just appetizing?
Oh, yeah. None of it's appetizing.
Well, some of it, you know, some of us like fried foods up the yin-yang, but some of us don't or can't.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Gen Con had one of the worst menus. And the hotel at Monster Mania, they said they produced the same menu for lunch and dinner all 4 days. Same exact menu. And there's only like 5 items on it. And
how many times can you eat a fried chicken sandwich?
And 4 of them are fried. That's the thing. Like, it's so bad. It's like a buffet and half of it's fried. Bring along some non-perishable stuff. You know, peanut butter and jelly, granola bars, water.
What we're going to do this year is, because we're driving out, we're going to bring a cooler and we're going to fill it with some like cold cuts and stuff like that. Because on top of everything else, there's no grocery stores or really even any convenience stores that close to the convention center. So you sort of have to bring everything with you.
Yeah.
So we're going to try and bring some cold cuts. We'll see if that works out this year. We haven't done it in previous years. But, you know, it's not even, the expense is the biggest problem with the food, but the other thing is the sheer amount of people that are all lining up in one line to get the same exact thing means you can be online for half an hour, 45 minutes, and then you have no time to eat. So it really makes sense to bring your own food.
Yeah. And one of the tricks that I sometimes do in hotels is sometimes it's there for emergency purposes for people who are diabetic or something like that and need to store their medicines. But sometimes they're not in use for those reasons and available. Mini fridges in the room. So you can bring cold cuts.
Right. Well, and our room does have a mini fridge, yeah.
Sometimes you don't have that mini fridge and cold cuts would be bad.
Yeah. So that's great. You know, I never knew that, but that I definitely would take advantage of that.
It usually costs about $15, I think, to rent a mini fridge, but you know,
so cheaper than, you know, convention food.
Yeah. But like you said, you know, you may not have groceries and, you know, convenience stores around the corner, but you may have fast food chains or pizza joints,
mm-hmm.
you know, fast food chains that you can walk a block and get Subway faster and cheaper than you could in the food court and healthier.
Oh, yeah.
And especially if your convention's in a hotel that you're staying in, don't forget delivery, because you can save a lot of money after, you know, the convention closes, you know, 6-7 o'clock, you're back in your room for a little while. You can call a local pizza department that you can get right at the front desk and pizza restaurant, and they will deliver to the front desk. And you can pick it up. Now, we were talking, you and I, about the possibility of, if you're in a long gaming session, having it delivered to the convention center.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would work, but I'm sure it's been done.
The only way I could see it working would be if you called them up and said, okay, I'll meet you out front of the convention center.
East outdoor or something.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah.
And we haven't tried it. I definitely want to try it. It sounds like a great idea to me.
Yeah, they do it all the time at Monster Mania. You'll see gobs of pizza boxes outside, you know, Delamino's, that kind of stuff. And it saves a lot of money from the $15 dinner downstairs. You share a pizza and it's $2.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my actual last suggestion. Do you have any remaining suggestions?
Well, and to be honest, I hate to give away our, like, special place, but we have a restaurant that we go to, like, 3 or 4 times throughout Gen Con. And I'm sorry, I'm being selfish, but I will not tell you where we go. But we go to one restaurant, and it's a sit-down meal. It's relatively inexpensive. I think it's a chain. But even though it's sit-down, it's still cheaper and faster than waiting in the convention center. And it gets you out of there, you know? Like, you're in there for such a long period of time that it just sort of gives you fresh air, even if it is smoggy and hot and gross.
Yeah.
I mean, even for lunch, if you have half an hour, shoot down the block and see what's around. But, you know, to go along with that, it took us 2 years to figure out where the places were, because they're not, I don't know, maybe it's just the construction that was going on at Gen Con or what the deal is, or, you know, our hotel is sort of on the industrial side versus, like, the commercial side of the convention center. But so there's a ton of restaurants right outside the convention center towards what I'm going to say is the north. I don't know if that's right, but I'm going to say north because that's what I think. But, you know, and they all have a lot of deals going on during Gen Con because they take Gen Con very seriously. They understand that there's a lot of people coming in. So they a lot of times will have good deals And they're fast because they know that you just want to eat and then leave.
Yeah. We actually forgot one, which is about... It's really hard to save money on things like tickets and attendance. Mm-hmm. Because usually it's either, you know, you can save by... I think you suggested timing of buying your tickets.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You want to make sure that you can buy your tickets at the pre-registration cost. It saves you $20-$30, I think, which isn't bad over the course of a couple of days.
Yeah, and if you know you're going to stay 3 days, buy the package.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go for the dailies. But beyond that, one thing that a certain group of people would be able to take advantage of are educators. Mm-hmm. If you're in any way an educator, check out your convention. Now, it's not going to work for things like Monster Mania that are purely entertainment conventions. But things like New York Comic Con, there's a very large push towards educating through comics and using those tools for educational purposes. So they have a whole educational wing of activities and a whole educators professional and a professionals day where general public isn't allowed. And I think you were saying Gen Con has that as well, right?
Yeah, Gen Con actually on the Wednesday before Gen Con starts, they have an all-day seminar that they do, and it's open to educators. So that means teachers, but it also means like librarians, which is important to me because I work in a library. So, but yeah, it's an all-day seminar, and it teaches you how to use the games and comics and all of these different things and how to use them in teaching. And when you buy that package for that day, you actually get a 4-day pass for free. So the idea there is it's still more expensive than what a 4-day pass would be, but there's a possibility that maybe you could get your job to pay for it if you could convince them. I think that'd be the coolest thing in the world. But, you know, or even if you're just interested in doing that yourself.
Or, I don't know the rules about it, but, you know, maybe it's a write-off because you're using that. I mean, the 4-day pass is free, but you're there for educational purposes for that day. So, you know, educators, a little tidbit there. So that basically rounds up our first and foremost tips for saving money. If you have any additional tips and tricks, please post them on the forums or send us an email or post a comment on the show page. And thus rounds up our Geek Fatale podcast. Thank you again, Jen, for being our host again. Yay!
No problem. Thanks for inviting me.
I love your tips and tricks, and hopefully I think I'm going to save some money this weekend just by listening.
Can't wait to hear about it.
So thank you, everyone, and thank you, Jen.
You're welcome.
Well, Geek Nation, it's that time again. So if you just can't seem to get enough of our geeky goodness, here's how to find us. Our website, geekfatale.com, is home to all kinds of geekery, including podcasts, miscellaneous geeky stuff, and details on all our awesome co-hosts. We're also found on the D20 Radio Network forums at d20radio.com/forums. You can follow me, Casey, on Twitter at Being Geeky, on Facebook at facebook.com/geekykc, that's geeky, the letter K, the letter C, or on the forums as Being Geeky. Contact us directly at mail@geekfatale.com. We'd love to hear your comments, answer your questions, and play your bumpers. As always, feel free to drop us a review on iTunes and to subscribe via the iTunes Store or directly through the RSS feed on our website. So until next time, Geek Nation, keep it sexy, keep it nerdy, keep it Geek Fatale.
D20 Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com. All original textual, graphical, and audio material found on this podcast and related website are copyright Geek Fatale in affiliation with the D20 Radio Network and are intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. Such materials are the sole intellectual property of Nateel Erickson and Casey Chapman and are protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial 3.0 Unported License. All names, images, sounds, and copyright material belong to their respective trademark or copyright holders.